Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and 30-year business coach. Listen in as amazing, world-changing authors, speakers, and coaches share their struggles and victories, and hear from best-selling authors' insight into how you, too, can live your life as a thriving entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. I hope today finds you in a place of delightful, excited, dynamic joy. But let's be honest, some days are just not as good as others. And for those of you that find yourself feeling less than, you know, stuff happens. It could be minor things. Some of you that have kids, this will totally relate to you. You know, you're getting up in the morning, you're walking across the room, and you step on a little Lego. Ouch. That'll start out your day wrong, huh? You know, for other people, it's bigger things. There are relationship issues. There are financial concerns within your company that cause you to lose sleep at night. There are some legitimate things that you're dealing with. But I don't know if you've been paying attention lately. There are a lot of people that we've been bringing on the show that have been talking about joy, not happiness, not giddiness, not, doing backflips, everything's perfect, but just simply joy. You see, happiness is a state. It's one of our emotions. Joy is something that wells up from within us. It's that ability to be able to believe in the light in the midst of the dark. It's that opportunity that each of us has to see a chance for something better. Now, sometimes I annoy especially when my kids were teens, because I would point out something good when they were feeling down about things. And as is always the case, of course, that was frustrating for them. But the truth of the matter is that in everything, there is the possibility for light if we're looking for it. If not, then all that we're going to see is the darkness. Do you remember last week we were talking about if you look at all the blue in your room and then you close your eyes and you begin to see all the orange that was also in there? It's all about what are you focusing on, because what you focus on grows. If you focus on the sound of my cute little puppy down here barking at noises outside, that could drive you crazy. Or you could be like, oh my gosh, I bet she is just the sweetest, cutest little thing. Because she is. And she knows it. And she knows that she's spoiled and loved by her mom and dad, and her family just, you know, would do anything for her. And you can be like, hey, that's really cute that Mocha was part of the show. It's about what you focus on. Because in the end, what you focus on grows. I've been doing shows where, you know, right in the middle of a really great interview with somebody amazing, the guy will come and mow the lawn. And you can hear in the background of the show somebody mowing the lawn. When I did the interview with Matthew Knowles, we were actually at a conference. And I'm going to play a little clip of that for you today, I think. We were at a conference, and there were people walking back and forth in front of us and noise, and it was loud in the background. But, you know, what I was wanting to focus on, what I was so excited about, here I was sitting with Matthew Knowles as he told us about how he gave up an amazing career because he believed in his daughters and their group so much. And of course, just about everybody's heard of Destiny's Child. And that loss that they had on Star Search, and how the desire to never feel that way again helped propel them, and how Matthew's desire to not want to see his children suffer took him in a whole different direction that has been amazing for his life and his career. You see, in the end, again, like I said before, what you focus on is what grows. You can see that there are trees covering you, and you can see that the forest is dark and gloomy, or you can see that you're not getting a sunburn. You can see the cute little woodland animals that are hopping around. What are you focusing on today? What is that story? What is that message that you keep repeating to yourself? Is it serving you, or is it working against you? Now, some of you may be saying, well, what does this have to do with living my life as a thriving entrepreneur? Well, the biggest thing, and anybody that's a coach, like the first thing you learn, if there was coaching classes, coaching 101 would be, it starts with mindset. What a man thinks in his heart, therefore is he. And that really is used out of context most of the time, and I won't get into why, but what we have inside of us is what's going to come out from us. We can't hold on to an untruth. The cracks begin to show to the world, and people begin to see through that glossy veneer of quote-unquote perfect that we have flaws. And actually, those flaws are what connect us to one another. And in the sharing them, we feel that sameness with one another. But we also have to understand that we have to be in control of our mindset. So it's important, as Lisa Nichols would say, it's important to live on, to stand on your story and not in your story. Things have happened to you, but things have not come on top of you. There are the shoulders of greatness, of situations in our life, in our past, that can be very difficult sometimes to negotiate a way through. But when we see what those people have come through, the things that they now have in their life, the advantages that we have as people because of the struggles of different groups of people, and the history of any country, you know, here in the United States is no different, is riddled with different groups of people treated very, very poorly in varying different degrees. I don't know that I know of any nationality origin of people that haven't had some bad times, in their experience back, and maybe it's the country they came from. You know, the pilgrims were fleeing from the oppression they were feeling in the country that they came from and came here for freedom. Obviously, there were situations that were horrible, like slavery, that are just so unforgivable and so hard for us to even wrap our heads around. And yet, we stand on the shoulders of the greatness of those people who were unwilling to allow themselves to be broken, but became more, became greater, became better because of the adversity in their life. It would have been so easy to just give up and quit. And I don't really, I don't really care which ethnic group you come from, it's very easy to allow yourself to live in the story of what was in the past, as opposed to standing on the story of how amazing were those people. And recent history is no different. How amazing was Dr. Martin Luther King? How amazing was Mother Teresa? There are just so many people throughout history who have made a giant, amazing difference in the world. And we still have them today. Oprah, Lisa Nichols, so many others that have come on the show and have shared with you just little secrets about what they've learned throughout the course of life. And all of them will tell you one thing, and that's that your attitude is what determines your altitude, meaning that whatever you focus on grows. If you are downtrodden, depressed, dealing with underneath of the pressures of life, then that's the reality that you have. If situations outside of your control are challenges that you can rise above that you can overcome, then you begin to see yourself living more and more and more victoriously. Victory, a victorious life is yours. It's sitting right there. It's like it's in hands outstretched, held out to you. And all you need to do is take it. And it starts from choosing to focus on things that are great. Now, I took a little extra time to begin the show today to really focus on that, because I want you to take the time through the course of this whole entire show to really focus on how amazing and how great you are. The more you focus on that, the more that's going to grow in your life. And remember, what you focus on grows. Did you hear the dog bark? Or did you hear the opportunity for you to be able to spend this whole entire hour focusing on how amazing you are? Think about that, and we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur. You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. I hope that you spent this entire commercial break thinking about how amazing and how great you are. Today, we're going to focus on you, and you are going to grow and become a better person because what you focus on grows. Are you ready to start growing and becoming the better version of yourself that's right there in you waiting, just hoping that you'll focus on it so that it can grow? Do you live in a state of disease? Are you in a place of permanent joy, or do you unconsciously live someplace that's kind of negative and unhappy? Well, today we want to try to help you a little bit with that. And so to help you with this, I'm proud, excited actually, to introduce to you one of our newest authors, Monica Lewis, her book, Power Source. Hi, Monica. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing good. So, Monica, tell us a little bit about you and how you came upon what you're covering in the book.
Well, I am from North Carolina. I'm from Charlotte, and I was raised here. Just have lived here most of my life, and just really, although I love to travel, I always love to come home. And North Carolina, it just brings a place of wellness for me. But it really hasn't always been the case. I grew up in an area that, you know, was lower income, and, you know, grew up with a mom and a stepdad who had the best of intentions, but who were dealing with a lot of things in life themselves. And my stepdad had a drug addiction, and it really impacted our family. And so I was truly, truly, truly just, you know, dealing with that the best way that I knew how to do it. Mm-hmm. And what I found was that consciously I began to just live in a place of just not really having a foundation of love and a foundation of security. Although I had fleeting moments of comfort and love, and my mom tried to to do the best she can to provide stability, there was really a lot of negative thoughts and a lot of insecurities that just kind of penetrated my consciousness based on how I was living and how I was raised. And so I ended up growing up really just thinking that life was kind of about suffering. And it wasn't conscious, but I just didn't think that lasting joy was really possible until I hit the lowest point of my life. And one of the lowest points of my life was I found myself in a relationship that didn't serve me. And in that relationship, I just reached a point where I was crying out for help. And in that crying out for help, God reached down and pulled me from that low point. And I began to just have a different type of dialogue with God. And I saw myself differently, Steve. And from that, I was able to just begin to view myself, view others, and view the world differently. And that allowed me to just be stronger, just to go from a woman who was not purpose to a woman of purpose. And so now I want to, just based on the things that I've learned, I want to help others.
I love what you say in the description of the book, where you talk about mastering the art of living in a state of constant joy amidst life's challenges. Can you give us a little insight into how a person can do that?
Well, in the book, I go into detail about two different types of consciousness. And what I learned is that when I was younger, I was not purposely understanding why some days I was filled more with anxiety, when I didn't trust people, how those relationships felt. I didn't understand how that impacted my thoughts. I didn't understand how to purposely take myself from those negative thoughts into thoughts that better serve me. And what I realized is when I was feeling anxious and fearful and feeling not enough, that I was in what I call a diseased consciousness. But then there's also this beautiful consciousness of joy. And I would feel joy every now and again, but it was not as consistent. And so joy is when you feel at peace, when you feel at ease, when you trust the ones that you are around, that they love you, that they're there for you. And so I began to just purposely learn the tools to help me stay in more of a joy consciousness. That state allows me to make better decisions, allows me to love others better, trust others. And so what happened was when I hit that low point in my life before, I began to practice certain things by default and learning and reading. And I realized, wow, after developing certain patterns that I could do these things consciously and purpose them every day. And so now over years, I've learned tools such as gratitude, forgiveness, giving back. These are ways that I stay in joy consciousness more frequently. And I outline them specifically in detail for others in the book.
And so living in that state of joy consciousness, is that what you define when you named the book The Power Source?
Well, yes. See, what happens is when you begin to purpose this way of living, you realize that there's an internal wellness that we all have that God has placed in all of us that really, you know, some people call it Holy Spirit. Some people call it intuition. Some people call it nature, that gut feeling. It's been called different names, but all of us have a driving force within us that is connected to the just the eternal wisdom of God. And that power source, which is what I like to call it, when you begin to be in tune with it, it really gives you like an internal guidance to making decisions and knowing whether you are in a place of disease or in a place of joy, and whether the decisions that you're about to make, if they're going to take you further down that path. So when you are feeling negative thoughts and you feel disease and you feel like you're not enough and people are out to get you and things are not rigged in your favor, there's a connection to power source that lets you know this is not how things are supposed to be for you. You're supposed to feel loved. You're supposed to feel connected. You're supposed to feel expansion and not feel as if you're separated from God. And so that wellness will always bring you back to joy consciousness if you're in tune with it. And so that's why I call it your power source.
I just really love that phrase, joy consciousness, because I think a lot of us expect joy to, like, run down the street, jump on our back, and make us take it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Rather than realizing we need to be conscious about it and actually choose which way we want to go with our life.
Exactly. You have to make a decision moment by moment to choose joy consciousness. Because we all have these things in life, whether it's family, whether it's trying to pursue a career, provide for your loved ones. These are, you know, the pressures of life that we all have to go through. And a lot of times we feel like we're not sufficient. We feel like we're inadequate. We worry and we, you know, just get that frustration and overwhelm in our bodies and in our thought processes. And so when you learn, though, that you can choose moment by moment to think a different thought, and that the foundation of your thoughts help to push you into joy consciousness, your power source, though, the blessing is when you're in tune with it, it helps to guide you through making those decisions so that you know whether you are truly make a decision that serves you or if you're making a decision based out of fear. And so joy consciousness, the base and the foundation of it is gratitude, forgiveness, and love. And so you are moment by moment, Steve, you're making a decision. And eventually, and it takes work. You know, a lot of times, like you said, people think, okay, I have to wait. And there's always this striving and striving for happiness or striving and striving for, you know, joy or elation or, you know, anything that we want to do to feel better in life. That's all of our goals, is to feel better, feel healthier, feel more love, feel loved by others, to belong. But we're often pushing it away. You know, we don't embrace it in the moment. And there's always something in the moment to choose that will push you into joy consciousness. And so it becomes a practice. And joy consciousness does not mean, and I love the fact that when I share this with people, it does not mean that you're walking around all the time just, you know, with a joker smile on your face. You're not just giddy all the time. There are so many emotions that deal with joy, from contentment to excitement to ecstasy to love to hope. These are all different types of emotions that you feel when you're in joy consciousness. These things allow you to know that you're in a space of feeling better, feeling connected to God, feeling connected to others. When we're in disease consciousness, you know by the emotions and the energy that you feel in your body, whether it's fear, overwhelm, anxiety, frustration, not feeling like you trust other people, that you are jealous. Those are things that will allow you to know that you're in disease consciousness. And so that flow, it will get better and better after time, where eventually you'll spend most of your time in joy consciousness versus spending it in disease. And that's when you really know that lasting joy is possible.
So let's give people something tangible that they can start doing right immediately. There's a whole lot of really good practical things in your book, but what's just one really simple thing that a person could do to start choosing to live in joy consciousness right now today?
What I would tell people is to just take my Power Source Challenge. That's like what I tell all of my clients and all the people that I try to help. The first thing is to just be conscious of God around you. And I learned this by default. But when I was going through the lowest point and I began to have a dialogue with God, I asked God to show up in my life. And so I began to consciously look for him and show gratitude when I saw evidence of his presence. So every day I would write down 3 to 5 things, simple things that I believe God blessed me with in life. It could have been someone paying for a meal, or it could have been, you know, just being able to spend extra time with my daughter. And as I write those things down consciously every night, I would ponder on them. But then when I would go to sleep that night, wake up the next morning, I set the day and started the day with the intention of connecting to God. So I would reread those things, reread each one of the things that I experienced from the day before, and I would say, thank you, God, for allowing me to spend more time with my daughter. Thank you, God, for someone paying for the meal that they spent. They didn't have to do that. And I thank you for all of these things. And I look forward to you showing up in my life today in a big way. That set the intention for the rest of the day. And it seems small, but it's amazing how that will open your consciousness to seeing joy, seeing gratitude, seeing God everywhere. And that will begin to shift your thoughts. So if I could tell anyone to do one thing or just to take one practice, and it's very easy, it would be to do that, the Power Source Challenge.
The book is called Power Source. It's by Monica Lewis. You can get it on Amazon. I really encourage you. This is an amazing book that Monica really shares her life, as well as some really practical ways that you can live in joy consciousness as well today. Thanks for being with us today, Monica.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you taking the time to share this information with the world, Steve. I really appreciate you and all that you do as well.
Do you live in a state of dis-ease, or do you have a joy consciousness? I hope that you're living in a state of joy consciousness, because whatever you focus on, that's what's going to grow. And we want you to focus on how amazing, how incredible of a person you are. Just think about that for a minute. Say to yourself, you're amazing. You are an incredible person. You know, the person that you need to be the most grateful that's in your life is you. You need to be grateful that you're in your life, and you need to treat you well. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You know, when we put something on Facebook, the person that should be the very first person to like something you post should be you. I mean, after all, if you don't like your stuff, why should anybody else? Think about that one. Do you like your stuff? And I'm not talking about some kind of form of conceit, which is just another version of having low self-esteem. I'm talking about genuinely, truly being humble. Because true humility is having a right perspective of yourself. And although you do have things that you struggle with, you also have stuff that you are absolutely amazing at. And I want you to know that. I want you to embrace that fully and know that within you, every piece of you, you are amazing. You are created for a purpose, and that the world needs you to let your amazing out. Can you focus on that? Let's focus on how amazing you are. And we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur. You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelpYouThrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. You know, because we are talking about joy, about really living in a place where you focus on the good things in your life, you know, like I said earlier, what you focus on grows. I wanted to bring back just an excerpt, little bit, from the interview that I was so blessed to be able to do with Matthew Knowles, where he talks about his book, The DNA of Achievers, and he talks about passion and about what it takes really to be successful. I think that he's, you know, been around a few successful people and has some really good words of wisdom. Because remember, what we focus on grows. So I wanted to bring just a little bit of what Matthew had to say in that interview back to you to help you really focus your mind, your intention, your joy, your intentionality, your reality into something dynamically powerful that you can use to focus on so that you can grow in the direction that you really should go. You've been around a lot of phenomenally successful people. What would you say are the top three traits that they all have in common?
Well, passion. It starts with all of them. Passion. I mean, I don't do it for the money. I mean, a couple of people after my presentation today talked about can I make money? And that's not why people. Passion is not about money. Passion is about the fulfillment of being the best and doing what you love. Then the money comes. Yeah. It doesn't come immediately. So I tell everyone, just do your passion. Do you. Whatever your passion is, do you. Strive for it. Learn. Let that be your goal. So successful people, that's one of the traits. The other is visionaries. I mean, these people are visionaries, and how do you know that? Just simple, a vision. They have an idea. Steve Jobs had an idea. Mm. The Wright brothers with the airplane had an idea. Did most people tell them, there's no way that's going to happen? Yeah. Key of when you have a great idea, most people tell you it's a terrible idea. That's how you know. If most people say, Steve, that's a terrible idea, I might have a great idea.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't go running around telling folks these ideas until you're ready. Because this is what most people do. They have a great idea, Steve, and then they go share that with somebody, and they knock it down, right? Mm-hmm. And the better way, I think, is you have a great idea, you put together all the strategies for it. So when I'm talking to you, I'm not asking for your approval. I'm going to say, Steve, this is my idea, this is how we're going to do it, and this is what I need you to do. I'm telling you what I need you to do at my vision, rather than you giving me feedback on my vision. So most of these folks are great visionary. And then as we rank the top three, which is hard, but thinking outside of the box, you know, most of us are box-in thinkers. You know, we've been influenced by life lessons, things that happened in childhood, our teachers telling us we couldn't do it, society saying you couldn't do it, giving us all these reasons why, because you're female, because you're black, because you're poor, you know, hearing all of those life comments that we've heard, or our parents sometimes being negative, saying we'll never, you know, we give them this idea, that passion, and saying you, that'll never happen, you'll never accomplish this. We still hear this, and I call it box-in thinking. And I actually showed today what box-in literally showed. I had a box on stage and put two women in a box, and they kept hitting walls. And that's what happens when we're box-in thinkers. We constantly hit walls. And those are the three things I would say: passion, visionary, box-in thinkers. But, you know, that's what my book is all about. My book is called The DNA of Achievers, The 10 Traits of Highly Successful Professionals. Highly successful professional. And it talks about these 10 traits. And it starts again with passion, you know, visionary, learning from failure. That's one of them, obviously. Work ethics. And, you know, I have this philosophy: if you live your passion, you never work a day in your life. I assume you love what you do, Steve.
I do. I tell everybody all the time, you know, being on the radio is like my guilty pleasure. I have to keep reminding myself that I actually do this as part of my business because I just love doing it.
And you know. See, I see a smile on your face, man. When you just said that, your face lit up. And that's, you know, that's how you know. Yeah. And that's how I feel about what I do. I go to sleep at night, and I'm the crazy guy that can't wait till tomorrow. I'm the crazy guy on the weekend. I'm kind of upset that it's the weekend. Because I'm like, wait a minute, we got to wait until tomorrow, to Monday? Like, come on. Like, I'm disappointed.
Absolutely, yeah. So let's dig deep into, you know, does everybody have the DNA of an achiever?
I think everyone has the opportunity to develop that DNA if they don't have it.
Okay.
You know, I think everyone has that opportunity to develop it. But first they have to understand what their passion is. Mm-hmm. It starts right there. And then each and every, there's something that happened in your lifetime, Steve, that makes you more determined. I don't know what that is, but we all have that defining moment in our life that we can pull on. I pull on it. For me, it's all of those challenges I had in Gaston, Alabama, as a child, and all the times that I had to help people who doubted, that gave me all the time self-confidence and that I couldn't achieve and accomplish. You know, I remember that. And I say to myself, that's the determination that makes me even today say, I want quit. Quitting is not an option. And so I think everyone has that opportunity. It's just, you got to understand it, you've got to hone it, and then you've got to unleash it.
Right. You know, I know today and yesterday too, when I've been coaching people as a premier success coach, one of the major questions that come up is my passion. How do I know what my passion is? What would you answer to somebody when they say, I'm not really sure what my passion is?
So I'm laughing, Steve, only because I'm putting together this. I do a number of lectures and seminars, and one of the seminars I'm putting together is Parents of Talented and Gifted Kids in Entertainment, What Do I Do? Think about that. How many parents have or think they have? Think they have talented and gifted kids in entertainment. And one of the things inside of that is the day, mom and dad, that you have to ask Johnny to go to practice, then you know that's not his passion. Because if that's his passion, you would never, Beyonce, I've never had to say, hey, Beyonce, it's time for you to go to practice. It's always been, hey, Daddy, we have practice at 3 o'clock. I need to be there on time. And so that's an example, even for grown-ups, for, you know, is it really your passion that you're going after? And most people aren't certain. They're unsure. You have to take that moment to really say to yourself, what is it that I really, really love? And you know, a lot of times, again, people are going to say, that is crazy. But you can't let that bother you. I guarantee you, Steve, if you live your passion, man, when you live that passion, because, see, dollar signs to some people that's living a passion, you know, I don't know what you make, but you just said it's the excitement, the fun, the joy, the sense of accomplishment that you get out of what you do. And that's the same for me. I pinch myself and say, oh, by the way, they pay me for this? And you do a great job at it, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I often tell my clients, I tell them, I'm like, you know, that one thing, you can always tell the secret when you're talking about your passion if you have kids, because it's that thing that when you say it, they give you that look like, oh, here goes Dad again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
because they're frightened to say, that's not really what I like, Dad. That's really what you want me to be.
Yeah.
I don't really want to be a doctor. Yeah. You know, I want to be, electrical, contractor. You know, that's what I like. No, you're going to be a doctor. Isn't it awful to live your life not living your passion and having to do something that you wake up and say, man, I've been there before. I've had one job, and it was a job. It was just that, a job, that I didn't like it. I did it. I used determination. And that's why I said today, you know, determination is not always the answer for success.
Right.
You know, if you don't have the passion with determination, it's still failure.
Right.
It's a psychological thing. I also think, you know, when you look at that DNA, it's psychological. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking literally where we're looking on a microscope of DNA. We're using that as a placeholder for what really happened in one's life, where a number of events and a number of things really impact how we approach success.
So do you think that after I identify that that I have been boxing in myself, what would be the, you know, first thing or the first couple of things that I can do to really start living the life of an achiever?
Well, we're talking professionally. I'm making that assumption that we're talking from a professional standpoint. And you've identified now what your passion is, right? Making that assumption. Now it's time for action. It's time for getting the knowledge that's required and putting a strategic plan together. Not just a plan, a strategic plan of how you're going to approach to get to your passion, to be successful with it. And a lot of it has to do also with networking. Mm-hmm. A lot of it has to do with learning. A lot of it has to do with learning from mistakes, but not being frightened to make mistakes. A lot of people are more frightened of success than they are failure.
I understand that, yeah. I think a lot of us find ourselves in a place where we're actually hiding from the world.
Yeah, and, that's well put.
You know, we have to get to a place, where we're vulnerable enough to tell the thing that we don't want to tell.
Well, that's how I start out. Every time I talk, I always say, in my vulnerability lies my safety. Think that's about awesome. That. In my vulnerability lies my safety. Mm-hmm. And it's right to your point. You've got to be open and honest with yourself about, again, your passion, about all of the things you need support and the knowledge of.
What are the things that you are really, truly passionate about? Where can you find the knowledge and the support to build that passion into something that is a huge flame that can really go all over the world. You know, I mean, Kathy and I have been so excited this last while to really come out of the shell behind clients and be out there in the front helping people. You know, the 160 plus people we helped in 2016 and ongoingly here in 2017 become best-selling authors. And we're looking forward to doing more and more in anthology books and regular books and any way that we can to help people become best-selling authors, because it ignites a passion in us to watch how amazing the transformation of going from the day before to the day after you're a bestseller. And I want that for you. I want you to find that passion and then find that way to be able to live deeply immersed in your passion, living a life full to the max, filled to the brim with a passion and amazing, wonderful life. And it starts with what you focus on, because what you focus on is what's going to grow. Have you been thinking about that this whole time? Maybe even during this last commercial break, you want to jot down some notes to yourself. And then we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur. You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. Another hour has almost gone by. It just always surprises me how quickly it goes. I love doing this. You know, you heard me talking with Matthew earlier, and it really is like my guilty pleasure. And I really got to say thank you to all of you who listen. Whether this is your first time listening or you listen regularly, I appreciate you. I appreciate the time you spend with us as we talk to you about different aspects of, you know, your life and your business and how you can really thrive as an entrepreneur in your life and your business. We really do want to share you with the world. You do have an incredible message that you and only you can share. You see, if I was sitting in a room, you know, and it was a room full of people that were all in the same exact profession, what we know positively is that every single person in that room would have a different take on the exact same thing. A, because no two people are alike, but also because everybody's experiences are different. You've been through some things, and from the low points and the high points of your life, it's brought you to who you are. And it's why when you're living in the core of your passion, when you really are living that purposeful, passionate life, that it just pops out of you everywhere. And it's why your story becomes so amazing, so unique, and so needed in the world, because nobody else can do you. I mean, we have had some amazing people in the world. You know, of course, always the first two people that pop to my mind are Lisa Nichols and Oprah Winfrey. You know, but we could include in there Dr. King, you know, Abraham Lincoln, Albert Einstein. You know, quite frankly, my wife Kathy is somebody that needs to be in that list. The point being is that the world is filled with amazing people. But none of them, no matter how great they are, none of them can be you. None of them can fill the place that only you can fill. But the question is, what have you been focusing on? Have you been focusing on your unique brilliance, on how freaking amazing you are? Or are you focused on the things in your story that have you bogged down to the point that you can't move? Are you so in your story that you can't move forward? Have you focused so much on what was, you know, looking in the rearview mirror? Imagine if you're driving down the road and the only thing you had was a rearview mirror. You had no front view at all, but you still had to drive forward. You'd crash into things, wouldn't you? You wouldn't know what was in front of you. A lot of us spend our lives that way. We're crashing around in life because we're so focused on what's behind us. And hey, don't get me wrong, there are some of the things in our lives that are life changers, they're game changers. The day before they happened, the day they happened, the day after, those are three different stages, and we're never the same person before, during, or after that. The point is that we also can't change that. The only direction we can move is forward. As my good friend Ernie Villanueva says, yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Today is the only legal tender you can spend. And what you need to do with today, while it's called today, is find a way to rejoice. Find that thing that you can focus on and help it to grow so that you can make the world a better place. Because only you can be you. Only you can fulfill that spot that you're here to fill. If you don't do it, you know, life, the universe, the world, God will find ways to get things done. But the truth of the matter is that the perfect way for it to get done is for you to do the part that you were meant to do. If you think about it like carrying something that has four handles, two on each side, you could put a really strong person on one side and have them carry, hold both handles, but it's going to be harder. Whereas if all four people pick up their handle and they lift, it's easier on the other three people. And it's fulfilling for you too, because you know you're doing your part. If any one of those people steps out, the burden doesn't go away. It just transfers to those other people. And a lot of us, and hey, don't get me wrong, I've been that person. I've lived as that zombie that was just walking around dead. I don't know how else to put it. And it's easy to fall into that trap because of things that have happened. But I encourage you, now's the time to step up. Now's the time to stand up on your story and say, yeah, that was horrible. That was awful. That wasn't something that ever should have been. But now I choose to move forward, to know better and to do better. And that starts by my focus. Because you see, I can focus on more, on better, on things that can make the world a better place. And if I do, then I can do my part to make the world a better place. I can't change the whole world. I have no control over the people next to me, but I can be the best me that I can be. And that's all that I want for you. I want you to fulfill that destiny that you have. Because when you fulfill it, you will feel fulfilled. You really do want that in your life. That's what it means to thrive. It's not about perfection. Stuff's going to happen. But it's about conscious joy. It's about your focus. Because whatever you focus on, that's what's going to grow. I'm really glad that you spent the time with us here today, because I really do hope that you can spend some time now really focusing and finding things to be passionate about and letting them grow. I hope you'll commit to that. I'm committed with you in that journey, because here's what I know more than anything else. You have a story that needs to be told. We created Bestsellers Guild as a free group so that you could come and begin to start finding a family, a community that can help you step out and begin to share your story. It's a free group, and we'd invite you to join us at bestsellersguild.com. When you're ready, we want to help you bring that story out into the world, to not just write a book, but to write a bestseller. We want to see your name in lights, you, best-selling author, from now and forever on. Generations from now, they can say, you know, Grandma, Grandpa, they were a best-selling author. They had an amazing book. Wouldn't you love to have that in your life? I know that there's a lot of people out there that want to write a book, and I know that all of us want it to be something impactful, important to the world. And Kathy and I would be so honored and so blessed if you wanted to join us at bestsellersguild.com. And if there's anything that we can do to help you bring your story out into the world, whether it be through one of our anthologies, through just the workshop that we do, or if you want to become one of our best-selling authors, feel free to get in contact with us and let us know how we can help you thrive in all that you do. That's why our website is wehelpyouthrive.com, because that's what we want to do, is help you thrive in everything that you do. Because you are uniquely brilliant. There truly is no one else in this world like you. You were created on purpose. You were created with a purpose. And I know that I know that I know that the world needs you. The world will be a better place when you focus on what you were meant to do to fulfill that place in your world, that thing in your life that you're passionate about, so that the world can be just that much better, because you're not just in it, but you're into it. You are focusing on the best part of yourself, and that focus is helping you grow your little corner of the world just a little bit more. If you'll focus on your passion, if you'll focus on consciously being joyful, I promise you that no matter what comes along, you can learn the skill of concentrating on the positive and allowing the negative to flow off your back like water off a duck's back. Not that bad things are never going to happen, but that all things can work together for good. I hope you'll take that as encouragement and you'll focus on some really great things this week. Until next time, know that Kathy and I are here hoping that you'll live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared.
that message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.